Let us hear the word of God, and we read from the book of Job this morning. The book of Job and the chapter 23. The 23rd chapter of the book of Job, reading all of the chapter. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Amen. Our Father, we ask a blessing on the reading of thy holy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us turn to the book of Job again this morning, please. The book of Job and the chapter 23. The 23rd chapter. Let us pray briefly before we look at our text and bring the word of God to you. Our Father, how we thank thee for the privilege again to be around thy word. For thy word is light and comfort, and it is so needed in this dark, dark world. So we bless thee for the light of the word. And as we sit around it, wilt thou let its light shine into our hearts. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us, Lord. Let them bring us right into thy presence, right nearer to our God. So speak to us and minister to us, and bless thy people and awaken sinners, and glorify Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen. I want to draw your attention this morning to Job 23 and the verse 3, and also the verses 8 through to 10. Oh, Job says, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You who know the story of Job will of course know that he is in a very, very dark time. A very, very, very dark time indeed. So dark for Job, I do not need to tell you how dark those of you who are acquainted with the early chapters of the book of Job, how his world was turned upside down, how it became all chaos for him in a very short period of time. And now Job, he says here in verse 2, he says, my complaint is bitter. He says, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. So his world has been turned upside down. His life is now utterly dark, utterly bleak. His losses are immeasurable. His losses are great. His fears are great. His doubts are many, and his comforts are none. His world has been turned upside down. Now, I want to say three introductory things before I want to look at our text in detail. Job's spiritual compass. Job's spiritual compass. But there are three things that I want to say by way of introduction, that this trouble in Job's life, this darkness, this period of trial, has largely been the cause of the devil. This troublesome time has largely been the cause of the devil. Now, in Job 23, he himself is not aware of that. The Lord has removed the veil, and in the opening chapters, the Lord has allowed us to see the hand of Satan behind so much of the trouble in Job's life. But Job is not aware of that. He only sees the Sabaeans. He only sees the Chaldeans. He only sees the stormy wind. He only sees the lightning which appears to come out of heaven. He only sees all of those troubles, the ravages of wicked men, and what appear to him to be natural disasters. But we are told that behind these things, in Job's life in particular, is the wicked one. He is directing these evil men, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, and apparently even using the natural disasters which fell upon his property. So the devil has a large hand in Job's darkness and distress. But then the other thing that we have to keep in mind is that God has allowed it. He has allowed it because God is sovereign. He is the most high sovereign one. And in the early chapters of Job, we see that the devil had to come to God and to get permission to afflict Job. And so this is one thing Job knows. Even though he's ignorant of the hand of the wicked one, he is not ignorant of the hand of God. He knows that God is sovereign. He knows that he is over all and everything that has taken place in his life. Job said, I came naked out of my mother's womb, and I shall return naked thither. The Lord hath give, and the Lord hath taken away. So he recognizes that God is sovereign, that God is over all, and that God has allowed this. When he have tried me, he says. So he knows that in the trial, which is in the hands of the devil, a wicked temptation, but in the hands of a pure and holy God, it is a trial. When he shall try me, I shall come forth as gold. And then the last thing, by way of introduction, in all of this darkness and trouble that Job is experiencing, the last thing is that despite his troubles, despite his whole world caving in, despite the darkness, and even though he is plagued with doubts and has lost his peace, despite all of that, he still seeks God. He is still trusting in the Lord. He is still an earnest seeker after God, and he's still desiring his presence, and he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. So, in all his darkness, he's a man who wants God still.
in his life. He's a man who desires the Lord. He's a man who's clinging to the Lord. The devil cannot change that. That is ultimately what he wants to do. And all of these trials have been to the purpose that Job would curse God, that Job would forsake God, that Job would blaspheme God, that he would give up on the Lord and completely turn away from him. That has been the aim of the wicked one. It always is. He wants Job to apostatize. But Job will not apostatize. No. He may struggle, he may battle, he may have conflict with doubts, he may lose his peace, he may have no spiritual comfort, he may feel utterly abandoned by God. But Job will not forsake the Lord. Job will not turn against the Lord. Job will not abandon his Redeemer. He will still seek him. He will seek him evermore. He will seek him until he finds him. And so Job, in all his darkness, always displays himself as a seeker of the Lord. And this is every true believer. But what does Job do when it is so dark? So very, very dark. He follows his spiritual compass. And so I draw your attention to the words of verses 8 and 9. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. I'm backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." And so there are four directions, and Job wants us to consider them. He wants to draw us into his spiritual compass. He says, "Behold." So look, look, be drawn in to see my compass. Be drawn in to see the directions that I take. Be drawn in to see the way that I go, the way that I go in all my darkness. I want you to be drawn in to see, because one day you may be here. One day, you may need the spiritual compass, so behold, and be drawn into the text, be drawn into what Job has to tell us. So he has this spiritual compass, and that is what is referred to here, the four directions. We normally say north, south, east, and west, but the Hebrews do not work like that. They talk in terms of east and west, and then north and south. And so he begins with, "I go forward. I go forward." He's doing the right thing. He's doing the right thing, I assure you. It's right to go forward. It's right to go backward. It's right to go to the left. And it's right to go to the right whenever you're in your search for the Lord and for his presence and to hear his voice. It's right to search for him. It's right to seek him. He says, "He knows. He knows the way that I take." So Job's taking the right way. He's taking the right course when he has this spiritual compass. And so we want to look at his compass this morning. He says, "I go forward." And to the Hebrews, the word suggests the east. And that is first. He always goes forward. That's always the best thing to do. He considers God as before him. He considers his face. It is dark. He's not sure. He has his doubts. But he considers that God is before him, that he has his face towards the Lord, that he has his face towards the light. And he says, "I go forward. I go forward." And that's what God tells his children to do. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And God's people are to go forward. They're to be a forward-going people. So he goes forward. What does he go forward to? He goes forward to the place of prayer. He goes forward to the throne of grace. He goes forward into the presence of God. He goes forward. He goes forward using all the means of grace. That's what you do when you're in darkness. That's what you do, child of God. If you've lost the sense of God's presence, you continue going forward. You continue going forward in prayer. You continue going forward in the Word of God and in the reading of Scriptures and in the searching of the book. Yes, go forward. You're doing right. You're doing right going forward, keeping prayer. Go forward to God's house. Go forward to attendance at the means of grace. Don't stop. Don't stop because it's dark. Don't stop because you're confused. Don't stop because you're being attacked by the devil. Keep going into God's house. Keep going forward to the sanctuary. Keep going forward to the place where you know the Lord is, where you know He's sure to be, and He's sure to be in His house. Keep going forward. You remember how the psalmist, he was in darkness, he was confused, and he says, I was nearly over with me. I'd slipped. I'd well nigh fallen. I was nearly finished. It seems he'd stopped going to the house of God, but he had a change of mind. And then he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God. He kept going forward. And so forward is where Job expects to find God. Forward to the ordinances. He says there, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He goes backward, but he doesn't go back in this regard. I don't go back from his word. I don't go back from his commandment. I don't go back from the means of grace. I don't go back from the house of God. That's not what he means when he says I go backward. We'll see what it means in a moment. But in regard to the house of God and the word of God and the means of grace, he goes forward. And child of God, keep going forward. Keep praying. Keep coming to the scriptures. Keep coming to the book. And as I said, this book of Job is before the tabernacle, it's before the temple, it's before Moses. The book of Job is probably from the time of Abraham. So the compass isn't the same as the compass of the tabernacle. He's going forward. It's to the east, to the place of the rising of the sun, to where the light arises. He goes forward, where he expects the light to be, where he expects the light to rise. He's going forward. Forward to the place where he expects the darkness to be dispelled. And that's the word of God. And that's the throne of grace. So child of God, you have to keep going forward into the word and into God's house and into the prayer time, into the closet. Keep going forward. Keep it up. And so Job does. He goes forward. But observe what he says. He says, I go forward. But he's not there. He's doing right. He's going forward. But he's not there. There's no joy. There's no comfort. He still hasn't found the presence of God. He's seeking. He's keeping faithfully at the means of grace. But his sweet presence is still missed. He's not there. That's what he says. He's not there. I go to the place where I expect to find him in the Word, but he's not there. I go to the house of God where I expect to find him, but he's not there. He's not there. I go to pray, but heaven seems like brass, and the prayer seems to rebound off the wall. He's not there. He's not there. I go to hear the sermon, but my heart is not touched. My heart doesn't burn within me. I'm not challenged. I'm not challenged. I'm not awakened. I don't feel the power of the word. I go forward, but he's not there. He's not in the word. He's not in the church. He's not in the place of prayer. I can't find him. His tender voice is not heard. The peace and joy of his sweet face is not seen. I'm going forward, but he's not there. This is a spiritual compass. He knows the way that I take. And so that's how Job found it. And perhaps you are Job this morning, child of God. It's no new thing. You're doing right. You're coming to God's house. You've lost the peace. You've lost the comfort, but you're still going forward. It's the way that you take. And let me assure you this,
Even though God's face still appears to be hidden, and you still get no relief and no comfort, let me assure you of this, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Praying, reading the Word, hearing the Word, and coming to God's house. So that's the first direction in a spiritual compass. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And so he takes another direction. He says, backward. I go forward, and I'm now backward. This corresponds to the west. The Hebrew word corresponds to the west. And this is completely another direction. It's not the wrong direction. As I said, he's not going backward from the Word. He's not going backward from prayer. No, he's going backward in other regards, as we'll see. He's not taking a wrong direction. He's using his spiritual compass in pursuit of finding the Lord. And this is a direction sometimes God's people have to take. And some people, God's people in their darkness, they do take this direction. They retrace their steps. When we lose our peace, we have to retrace our steps. When we lose our power, we have to retrace our steps. We have to go backward. We have to go backward. We have to retrace our steps. We have to go to the places where we first met the Lord, perhaps. And we do that. You know, we go back to our past experiences. We have no comfort now, no light. So we go back into our past experiences to re-examine them and to look at them and say, well, how I met the Lord then, and how it was better with me then, and how I had comfort then, and how the Word was so blessed to my soul then. I remember that date. I remember that place. We go backward. We go backward to that time where we had a fresh encounter with God. We go backward to that time when at the throne of grace it was so marvelous, so much liberty, so much power, so much shining the face of God upon us. And we go back. We go back to that place and back to that experience to try to find this presence of the Lord again, and that it will be well with us again. We go back. We go backward. And we examine our experiences. Back to where we found joy and peace before. We might even go back to the place we were saved. Back to where we first met the Lord. Back to where we first cast anchor on Jesus Christ. Back to the time when there were no doubts and no fears and no darkness. And it was well. We go back there. We go back there. And Job goes back. He goes back to that sermon that made such a blessing on him years before. He goes back to that text from the Word of God, that promise from the Scripture that was so blessed to him so many moons ago. He goes back. He goes back there. He goes back there in the darkness. He goes back to Bethel, the house of God where he met God. Back to where the ladder he first saw. He goes back to Peniel, where he had the face-to-face encounter. He goes back. He goes back to all these spiritual high points in his past. He goes back. But I cannot perceive him. Still no comfort. In the darkness, as he goes back and examines these places and these past experiences, he still has, I cannot perceive him. He has doubts. Was it real? Was it just emotion at that time? Was it just surface work? He goes back. He goes back. Was it deep? Was I really sincere at that time? Was I deceived at that time? He goes back. But I cannot perceive him. Was it just a light decision? Was it just a mere morning dew that passed away? Was it real? Did I really encounter the Lord then? Was it deep? Was it just natural conscience? Or was it a real work of the Holy Spirit in the conviction? I go back. I examine.
but I cannot perceive him. Cannot. And so he doesn't get comfort there either. He goes back, but he's still perplexed. He's still in doubts. Maybe he goes back in self-examination along the path of life that he's already trodden, back to some place where perhaps he lost the Lord, back to some crossroads, some decision he made in his life that perhaps that's where he lost the Lord, back to the place where he lost the axe head, where it fell into the river, where it fell into the Jordan. Maybe he had gone on without it. Maybe he needs to go back and examine where he lost. He needs to go back to the place where his hair locks were shorn. Maybe he needs to go back to look upon some Delilah whose lap he lay upon. Maybe he needs to go back to some crossroads where him and the Lord parted. And so he goes back. He goes back to examine. He goes back to search. He goes back to consider from whence he fell. He goes back to Jericho to find the Achan. He goes back. He goes back to where some foul spirit gripped his own heart, some attitude that got into his life that defiled him. He goes back. He goes back. And so he searches his heart, searches his life, trying to remember from whence he fell, back to that fire around which he denied the Lord that night. He goes back. Back to the Lord in repentance. Back to do the first works. The first works that have now so long been left undone. He goes back. He's been so busy. He's been in this and that and the other. He's been busy in Sunday school. He's been busy in meetings. He's been busy in all this and that. But the first works. Walking closely with God. Humility and faith and repentance and tender conscience. The first works, the basics of a relationship with God. He goes back, back, back to see where he's lost the joy and comfort of God. Backward. Child of God, sometimes you have to go backward. Backward. Now he turns northward, which is his left. And as he assumes God is before him, because he wants to come to his seat, and he goes forward and he assumes God is before him, so he looks to the left, which is God's right, because God works on his right. God has a mighty right arm. His works are done with his right hand. The Son of God sits at his right hand. So that's Job's left, as he is facing towards God, who's working on his right. So he's looking in the area where God works. He says there, on the left hand where he doth work, that's Job's left hand. God doesn't work, as it were, on his left hand. It's an altogether different side, as we'll see in a moment. But he works on his right hand, which is Job's left hand. So he's looking to the left. He's searching to the area where God works with his mighty high right hand. His right hand, his holy arm that always gets to God the victory. He looks to the left, to the side of God's strength, to the side of God's saving right hand. And so Job brings his meditative, searching heart into God's works. And that's a good course to take. You remember how the psalmist said, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand. So he contemplates God's works. He goes and he considers the work of creation. The sun and the moon and the stars. He gets out his telescope again. And he looks at the distant galaxies. The things that had moved him in the past, when he saw the awesome display of God's power and God's creative wonders. The times in the past when he said, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout all the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. So he goes and he explores the creation,
the places where God works, so that this song might again come out of his heart, "How great thou art," that he might be comforted, that he might have a sense of the presence of God. So he looks at the Milky Way and he looks at the galaxy. And then he gets his microscope out and he looks at the minute and he sees God's handiwork, his wisdom, his power in the small things. "I consider not only the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, but also man." What is man? And the creation, the creatures in the creation. And so, and he refers to many of these things, and many of these things are referred to in the book of Job. The vast creative work of God. He looks from the mountaintops down into the valleys at the beautiful scenes, but he says, "I cannot behold him." He stands at the ocean edge, seeing the vast depths and the wonders of the deep. He takes a flower. He watches a bird. It had moved him in the past, the awe of the Creator and the creature. It had moved him in the past. But now he says, looking at the bird, looking at the stars, looking at the vast creation, "I cannot see him. I cannot see him." Now there is no melting. Now there is no moving. Now there are no tears and no emotion and no praise as in past experience. Now his soul cannot say, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. I cannot behold him." He's doing right. He's doing right. "How dark it is for him, you see. And child of God, you may be there. The beautiful scenes of the valley which moved you in the past, now because of the darkness and the trial that you go through, do not move you today." He reads and studies afresh God's providence, where he worked, the marvelous timing in the events. He considers all the providential dealings of God's with him. He studies the interventions of God for his people, delivering his people, as we can do. We can study the Old Testament. We study the interventions of God. We study the interventions of God in our own life in providence. We study all of these things afresh. But in our darkness, we are still not comforted. "I cannot find him." That's how Job is finding it. And then we can go to Calvary. We can read not only the Bible history of the divine workings in Jericho and the Elah Valley, so on and so forth. We may even go to Calvary. The greatest work of all. But it is still dark for Job. "I cannot see him. I cannot behold him." You see how poor Job is? How tried he is? Poor, doubting believer. Walking in darkness, having no light. That's Job. But you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing to consider his works. You're doing the right thing to visit Calvary. You're doing the right thing to sit at the cross and consider the great work of redemption. You're doing the right thing, even though the comfort is not as in former times. It will be. There is one more point on the compass. God's left side, Job's right side. "He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see." I cannot see at the right hand at all, which corresponds to God's left side. Because this is the side where God hides himself.
This is the side where there is no light. This is the side where there's not a glimmer of light, where he hides himself. This is the dark side. This is the fearful side. This is the terrible side. Some of the Hebrew scholars say that the reference here is to a cloak that a man has that he throws over with his right arm and covers his left side. It's hidden. It's concealed. The left. Oh, the left. You don't want to go to the left side of God, where the goats will stand, where God hides himself. Sinner, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there at the left side of God, where he hides himself. And will you be banished to hell forever and ever? Never a glimmer of light. Never one glimmer of gospel light. Never a hope. Never a ray. Blackness of darkness forever and ever and ever and ever, where God hides himself. But even to that side, Job considers, he looks. In doubts about his salvation, he looks to consider the side where the Christless are, where the damned will be gathered in the judgment day. Even there Job looks that perhaps he might find him there, contemplating the eternal and everlasting hiding of God, contemplating the blackness of darkness forever, contemplating that awful place, hell, that in the contemplation of it, somehow he might be driven to find the presence and comfort of God again. And sometimes we do that in our doubts, child of God. We're tempted and tried even to consider the dark place. This is the way that Job takes. This is the spiritual compass that he uses. And still there is no light. Still Satan's cloud is over his mind. Still he battles the loss of the sense of the presence of God. No comfort. But he's doing right. And that's what I'm saying. He's doing right in all of this contemplation and meditation, because he's seeking God. He's not just lying in bed and saying, oh, it's just not well with me. I've lost the Lord. That's a pity. No, he's seeking his countenance. But then in verse 10, a little glimmer of hope arises. A happy but. There's a change now in using the spiritual compass. Now at last a little light has arisen in his soul. Now he is able to say that he knows the way that I take. So that's a glimmer of light. Child of God, in your darkness, this is a great comfort. God knows. He knows. He knows my darkness. He knows my trials. He knows my despair. He knows that I seek his Son, Jesus Christ. He knows that I desire him. He knows that I trust in him. And so there's this glimmer of light. I cannot see, but I know that he knows. And if he knows, he is alive. And if he knows, he is near. And if he knows, he cares. So, he knows. He knows my battles, he knows my doubts, he knows my fears, he knows my trials, he knows all about me. And that is a great comfort for us in our trials and in the devil's assault upon our soul. God knows. He knows. And he cares. And so faith is rising. Forward, backward, left and right. The way that I take. He knows the way that I take. He knows the directions that I've been going. He knows how I have sought him in every direction. He knows it. He knows that I lean on him. He knows I want him. He knows I would never willfully curse him or blaspheme him. He knows. And what a comfort that is in itself. But Job doesn't stop there. It's ascending. Faith is rising. It's getting higher. He knoweth the way that I take. And now he takes another step. He's coming out. He's coming out of the darkness. When he have tried me, he's seen it better now. Going forward, backward, left and right, somehow the light has come. He's seen it better now. When he's tried me, he now sees that God is trying him as his dear child. You know, God does try us, but not the way the devil does. The devil tempts us, but God doesn't tempt us. He tries us. He tries us to improve us. He tries us to refine us. He tries us to purge us. He tries us to sanctify us. When he, forget all about the devil, Job says, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Light has come. Faith ascends. Oh, he sees it now. He has found him now. He's found comfort and peace now. He sees in the darkness the finished product as he comes out at the end of the darkness into the light. He knows the finished product will be his goal. He knows that his Redeemer is a good God. He knows that his Savior, Jesus Christ, is a wonderful Savior. He knows that he's refining me. He knows that he is the jeweler who is bringing him forth as his precious gem, as a precious metal of gold. He knows this. He has discovered this now, that he's going to come out glorious. Glorious like the Son of God, that he's going to come out to be gold in the streets of gold amongst the inhabitants of the saints in glory. He sees it now. He sees the end of it all now. He sees why this period of darkness has come on his life, that it's the jeweler. It's not so much the devil as the jeweler bringing him through the fire. He sees it now. As he uses his spiritual compass, he sees that the darkness, that the trials, that the struggles, that the battles are not damning. They're not damning of his soul, but they are transforming of his life. He sees it now. And so he finishes with some comfort in the darkness. It's as if he's heard the Isaiah the prophet, and with this I close, people of God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? That's a man who's obeying God. That's a man who feareth the Lord, it says in the text. That's a man who's obeying the voice of his servant, Jehovah Jesus. He's obeying the voice of Jesus. Well, who among you is doing that and walking in darkness and doesn't have light? And as it literally is, doesn't have a glimmer of light. Sometimes the saint is in that place. I don't know, maybe there's only one or two of you in that place this morning, but this is for you. The dark place, not a glimmer of light. Like Job, not a glimmer of light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And that's exactly what Job did. He didn't curse God, hadn't a glimmer of light, but he still trusted God and he still stayed upon his Savior. And he says, I know the way that he knows the way that I take, and I'm going to come forth as gold. Child of God, believe it. Believe it. And be comforted this morning. And continue using your spiritual compass properly as the Spirit guides you. But most of all, continue trusting and resting in Jesus Christ. He'll not forsake you. Let us pray. Lord, bless the word.
to souls that are distressed and tried among thy people. May it be a comfort to them. And like Job, may all of us, thy people, in our trials, come forth out of the jeweler's shop so glorious. Oh, may we come out of the jeweler's shop at the end of time, Lord, and at the end of the day, so glorious, just like the jeweler himself, just like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.